Tangara Walker is a contract milker on an Invercargill dairy farm, and he has become a media sensation. His Facebook page, called Farm for Life, features videos of himself on the farm. He has thousands of followers who have watched him plunge his arm into a calving cow in difficulties and stab cows with bloat. Not for the faint-hearted. Tangaroa Walker also features on RNZ's Country Life Grassroots series. And here he is now. Kia ora. You would know what a country beep and a city beep might...
Well, like a city beep would be like, beep. And then a country beep will like, country beep will be real deep, be like, bah.
What are you saying about city folk?
Soft.
Soft. Whereas you... why are you making this Facebook page? Who's your audience?
My audience is everyone that wants to watch, really. I'm trying to obviously just educate people around what we do in the dairy industry because I wish there was somebody around when I was young doing what I'm doing. So I think I would have fast-tracked my career and it would definitely have got a lot more of my friends into dairy farming.
Would it?
Absolutely.
I've watched that.
It's freaking awesome.
I've watched that. Look, my father was a vet. I witnessed him many times putting his arm into cows for the calving business. But I'm not sure that would encourage people to go into dairy farming. Neither stabbing the cow with the bloat. I think you might have put off a few people.
What right. It's not for the faint-hearted, as you just said. But, you know, that's a thing. We're not, like, I'm a dairy farmer. I'm not a vet only. Like, I can weld. I can fix electrical problems.
Look, I'm looking at your hands. I'm sure you can do anything you like.
Well, is that me just sitting here or?
Huge hands you've got. Huge, weather-beaten hands.
I don't know what that means, but.
Means you're very good at rugby too, doesn't it? That's what it means. Tell me how you got into dairy farming in the first place.
So I suppose the seed dropped when I was about 11 years old and I was at Whakamaruma school and I was just seeing this guy come up the drive up there.
Where are you? Bay Plenty?
Bay Plenty, yep. In Tauranga, yep. And this guy come up into our school and he was setting up our cross-country course and I sort of liked this car that he was driving and then I just went up to him and asked him what he did for a living and he was like, oh, I'm a dairy farmer. And I was like, oh, I quite like the look of that. And then that's where it was sown, and then I ended up going to work for him.
And you wanted to be rich, and now you're rich and famous.
Oh, I don't know about it. Depends how you justify rich.
How do you justify it?
Having fun.
So how did you end up in Southland, which is a long way away from Bay of Plenty?
So this guy that was driving up in his car, I remember sitting, I think we'd just finished carving, and I said to him, I really want to... try and, you know, grow in the industry. And I remember him saying, oh, you need to go where the grass grows the cheapest. And I was like, oh, where's that? And he said, Southland. And then I remember going home and Googling Southland and it was just, and it showed like one small town with three pubs in it. And I was like, oh. And then I asked a few people and they're like, oh, you've got to buy your bread and milk from the pub. And then I was like, Jesus, going back to bloody 1970 there. And then I went down there and it was beautiful. Love the place.
Yeah. No thoughts of going back to Bay of Plenty?
No, the diving's too good in Southland.
Big power, I hear.
Yeah, big everything.
Yeah?
Yep.
I'd keep that a secret if I were you.
Yeah. Well, it's too cold for anyone to go swimming anyway.
Tell me this. What is a contract milker exactly? Is it a share milker or not?
Contract milker is just somebody that is on a contract and gets a certain amount of cents per kilo of milk. Kg of milk solids,
yeah.
So you've got a contract rate. Whereas like a share milker, you get a share, so it's a percentage of the milk check. Contract is like a.
Could you have chosen which one you do?
Yeah, I could have, and I made a. Well, my partner made a very good decision when we signed the contract to the farm that I'm on because if I'd gone the other way, I'd probably be bankrupt right now because the payout went for a bit of a dive, and probably I would have been short about 40 or 50k.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
And will you carry on being a contract milker? What's the next step for you?
In terms of the industry, I really love the lifestyle that I live. So I think I'd probably be a contract milker for the rest of my life.
Don't want to own your own farm?
Not really. I want to sort of try and invest in other things. We started up a gym, and I really like helping people. So, sort of being diverse there, and also investing in the share market and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
You've got a gym in Invercargill.
Yep, got a
and
functional
got
fitness gym.
And you've got the deep sea diving.
Yep.
Deep sea diving, free diving.
Free
is
diving,
it?
Yeah. Which is just another, just sort of another venture that me and a couple of the boys jumped into. We literally jumped into it, and then we just started just like.
So how much time do you get on the farm, or do you not sleep?
I need sleep. But I don't know. I get most of my work done before 12 o'clock at lunch.
Right.
So I start at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then sort of go and do other stuff.
And do you milk at the other end of the day as well?
No, I've got two staff working for me, so.
But you still, the cows get milked twice a day?
Sure do, yep.
Because some people have gone on to once a day now. I reckon it's just as much milk.
I'd like to see the figures, but we're going to stay twice a day for as long as we can.
Dairy farming, of course, is having a pretty bad time at the moment, not only in terms of returns, but also in terms of the public perception of it. It's being blamed for environmental damage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you go out there into any industry and highlight all the bad things, I mean, you know, there's a lot of journalists out there that are, you know, reporting bad things as well. And I think, like, just with any industry, you know, if you're a police officer, if you work for the government, there's always those people that are sort of going a bit outside the square or stepping over the line in certain places. But I suppose the aim with Farm for Life is just to get to highlight and to video the professionalism within the industry, and also allow people to go to those professionals and get out of the hole that they may be in and get a bit of advice there. So, like, I don't see the point in having closed meetings about it. I might as well video it, and then it's open to everybody to see, and they can see it where they're lying next to their partner at 10 o'clock in the morning or getting their cows in at 3:30 in the morning.
Who's doing the videoing?
It's literally just, I'll just bend my right arm and just hold the camera at the end of it.
But when you've got your arm up to your shoulder in the cow's nether regions, you're not holding the video camera.
Sometimes I am. I just change
Surely
hands.
Surely not.
Oh, well, I try to, but I can't. I don't employ my staff to be cameraman.
So who's Goody?
Goody's it. Is my manager. He's my 2IC manager.
Does he help with the video sometimes?
Yep, sure does.
He's fun.
Yeah, he's pretty good fun, all right. Both the boys are.
And so Goody's from India.
Yep, Goody's from India, and Detroit is from Tauranga as well.
All right. Yep. And they are your employees?
Yep, that's the one. So I employ all the staff on the farm.
And how long will you stay on this farm, or do you move farms?
You get the option to move farms, but I'm about to have a family, so I'd quite like to stay on this farm as long as I can, and I like the I suppose I like the setup. Really enjoy working with the shareholders, and our consultants are doing a really good job as well. So,
when's
it's a good
the baby
setup.
June?
November.
Nice.
Early Christmas present.
Crikey! Well, that'll mean you get no sleep whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. As long as I dust the missus' break, she'll be all right. She won't go down with milk fever or anything.
Yes. Courtney is the name of your partner.
That's the one.
Is she into dairy farming as well?
No, she's a financial advisor, advisor assistant at Craig's, and then she's started a new job, new venture with Westpac as a agribusiness manager. Yeah, so she's loving that new role.
You're quite encouraging of women on farms finding their own way.
Absolutely. I think that the dairy industry has taken a huge change since, I suppose, like going way back to when, I suppose, women stopped being able to, you know, control whether or not they can or can't have a baby. So contraception, and then, you know, they weren't stuck at home with five kids. They could choose when they wanted to have children. And then they started becoming independent. And I really push that, eh? Like, people are sort of stuck on farms just following around their husband sometimes. Sometimes it's not like that. But, like, I really enjoy having my partner having another outlet and come home and ask her about how her day is and talk about how my shit day was or my awesome day was, and, you know, rather than working with each other all the time and not talking about anything.
A lot of farms, I suppose, couldn't function without a couple, a team.
Yeah, definitely. So my partner actually has nothing to do with the farm. So I've got an accountant that does all my accounting. I pay all my bills. My partner does has her own venture. The only shared venture we've got is the functional fitness gym, the Barracks. Yeah, and it's good balance.
What do you do when times get stressful, as they no doubt do?
I cry.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, sometimes. Not all the time. I don't want to be sick about it. But, there's trying times, eh?
The interesting thing about your video and your Facebook page is that it's opened up this whole community who are talking to you and giving you feedback and telling you you're fabulous, right?
Yep.
What if you didn't have that?
If I didn't have people saying I was fabulous?
No. What if you didn't have that kind of public outlet? What if it was just you in the snow at 4 a.m.?
Well, it was.
Farm.
It has been me for the last 12 years.
How have you dealt with that? Because that's pretty lonely, it strikes me.
Oh, I don't think it's lonely. I've got dogs. My dog is probably the biggest thing. I don't know how people go farming without a dog, to be honest. Like, he motivates me at 4 o'clock in the morning when I get up. He's, like, sitting there, you know, shivering, waiting to go. And instantly you go from this train of thought where you wake up and you're like, oh, what the hell am I doing? And you just got to make it out of your bed to the jug, flick it on, smack a coffee in you, and look at your dog, and you're like, oh, shit, I need to go now. He's waiting for me. And then you're into it.
You obviously really, really love the physical aspect of it.
Yeah, I love the physical aspect of it because it's forever changing. You never know what you're going to walk into every day. You know, you turn the lights on your motorbike or your headlamp, and your day can change instantly. So that surprise aspect is awesome. I literally go from being knees deep in mud carving a cow to having to go home, have a shower, and go and have a business meeting with my accountant or my bank manager within half an hour. You know, so that happens a lot, and with every dairy farmer, we've literally got businesses to run. People just think we're just cow cockies, you know. But
Days are gone, aren't they? People don't call. Do they call you cow cockies still?
Absolutely. I reckon anyone in gumboots is a cow copy or a sheep shagger.
Okay, then.
Your thoughts on that? What do you think on that?
I have no thoughts. I went to Massey for 2 years back in the day. And certainly then, you know, there were certain kind of sheep shagging and cow copying stereotypes.
Sheep shagging?
Not that I had anything to do with that. I did arts. In 2012, you were the best young Māori farmer. You won the Ahu Whanua Award. What did that mean for you?
At the time, I didn't realise how much it would mean to me. But looking back on it now, I suppose that once I won, I've realised how much of a responsibility I had on my shoulders in terms of not only lifting the Māori identity within the dairy industry, but also just lifting the dairy industry and exposing all the good things that go on within the industry. And only recently have I found out that social media is a really good outlet for that.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah.
And you are astonishingly frank. I mean, is there anything that you wouldn't show on that video?
Absolutely. There's a lot of things I wouldn't show on there.
Like what?
There's just some things that are just unnecessary to show. And, it opened me up for exposure. I mean, I've got people, critics, you know, left, right and centre that are videoing things now. And, like, you put Tangaroa Walker into YouTube and all these, like, videos will come up of me, like, either being a rapist or...
What do you mean?
I rape cows. Like, nothing to laugh about, but, you know, that's the exposure, and I'm stabbing cows that are still alive and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So, a lot of the vegans are jumping on board with it and
yeah, well...
You know what I mean? It's there, but, I mean, everything I do best practice, and at the end of the day, I'm here to look after my cows and the environment.
And you knew that it might get nasty for you if you put your profile out there?
Absolutely.
Are you surprised?
Like, I mean, you look at an All Black, he goes into a toilet now and everyone thinks he's going in there with another lady.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Did you want to be an All Black?
Absolutely. Every kid does.
There's a piece of video that has you putting your teeth back in because you lost your teeth in a rugby game?
It's the one.
Wow. Did you not have your mouth guard in?
No, I literally was. I tackled somebody, got up, got a smack in the mouth for tackling him, or I think that's what happened. And then I ran away to the line out, and I pulled my mouth. My mouth guard fell out of my mouth, and I pulled it out, and my teeth were all in there looking up
no!
at me. Yeah, it was quite. Yes, they didn't. They didn't. To be honest, they didn't look the prettiest anyway. So it sort of did me a favour. I actually entered the Fight for Kids the year before and hoping to get my teeth knocked out so I could get some new ones, but that didn't happen.
So the teeth that were in your mouth guard, are they the ones that were plugged back into you?
No, I think they pulled it out of some dead guy.
Oh, stop it. Now, that's unnecessary, isn't it? Yeah, hoping you're putting a video up of that.
No, what? Them putting that in?
Tell me about your childhood, please. Not easy.
Oh, yeah, no, it was an interesting one, but there's a lot of kids out there that have been going through a lot worse than me, but I sort of just wasn't really, I suppose.
The only thing I know.
There was love.
Is, okay.
There was love everywhere.
You went to six schools by the age of six?
Yep.
And you were adopted twice?
Yep. And the big thing was like moving houses. I'd been to like 16 houses by the time I'd settled in that Whakamaruma school. I think I was five and a half, six years old.
How come?
I suppose my mum at the time was just struggling with money. Like we lived in a tent for about a year and a half in an orchard. Yeah, at the back of an orchard. And then we upgraded and went to a caravan park. We lived in the caravan park for bloody ages. Yeah, and then we found the cheap house and then we went flatting and then, yeah.
And then you were adopted?
Yep, I was adopted at birth and then I was adopted again at about five and a half because my mum started going off the rails a bit.
Can you remember that?
Oh, vividly, like it was yesterday. Yes. Yeah.
So you could have gone off the rails yourself, I imagine.
Yeah, well, I remember. I used to go and see my cousins and my family, and like we were breaking into cars and stealing stuff at like 6, 7 years old, you know. So that was sort of the track I was going down.
So what got you off that track?
I got adopted into my uncle and auntie. They sort of took me out into the country and
took me into
the rural school. Yep, they've got a lifestyle block up there. Yeah, and then I used to get paid $5 a week. I was about 9 years old, eight, nine years old. No, so I was about seven. I used to have to bloody go and get this cow in, out of this huge paddock, one cow, go get her in at night, and then I'd lock her away in the yard, and then she would, like, obviously keep her milk. We'd pull her away from her calf, and she'd keep the milk, and then I'd have to get up in the morning and go down and milk this cow. And we'd milk the cow, get about a bucket and a half. We'd go feed all our pigs, go feed all our pig dogs, and bring it back, and we had all these freaking strange random cats that would turn up, and I'd have to feed the cats, and yeah, that was my $5, and I did that for 6 days a week, and I got Sunday off, I think, like, right from a kid while I was doing that, and the memories I have of getting that cow in was the school bus going past every time. I'd be frustrated trying to get this bloody cow out of this paddock, and she knew that where she was going, so she didn't want to go there. And I'd be like throwing mud at the cow and trying to get her out of the corner, and the school bus would go past and everyone would like run to the side of the bus and watch me. Oh, it was pretty embarrassing.
Were you supposed to be on that school bus?
No, I live right next to the school, but I actually used to catch the school bus to school. It was only about 200 metres up the road. All good though.
So why did you do that, or why didn't you say stuff that and go back off the rails?
I didn't have a choice. I loved being out in the country. It was freaking awesome. Had a real good school, good mates there. I was only going and helping my older cousins stealing shit out of cars. I didn't want to. I was just getting babysitted.
Yeah.
And we'd just go and they'd just, as soon as the parents would go out to the pub or go piss up, we'd just go and grab forks and bend them up and then go and break into cars.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was doing.
No. But it's a handy skill to have, I imagine.
Yeah, every now and then.
On the farm, when you lose the keys.
Yeah, well, that's actually why I come to Wellington. No. Where are you parked?
You wouldn't want my car.
Oh, that's all right then.
It's got a very high BP horn. are you going to have a boy or a girl baby in November?
He's going to be a boy and he's going to learn how to open gates at 12 months old.
Yeah. And what if he wants to, I don't know.
Be a ballet dancer?
Yeah, or a hairdresser.
I wouldn't.
English literature professor, whatever.
He can do whatever he wants.
He can?
Absolutely.
Good.
But he's going to...
Because I thought, you know, you being kind of a self-made man, you might have been a bit tough on a boy.
Nah, not at all. I love kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your own...
Yeah, well, I cannot even speak about that because I don't have any.
No, no.
So I'll talk to you about that in about another year.
I'd be interested to know how it goes.
Yeah, nah, I can't wait. I've wanted a kid since I was about 11 years old because I want to be the dad that I didn't have.
Is that the way it works?
Yep.
Who's your role model?
My Uncle Kelly. Yep, he's the one that took me in at 5 years old. Yeah.
And you're still very close to that?
Yep, I ring him probably every third day, yeah. Talk for an hour.
Have they been down to Invercargill?
Yeah, too much. Now they've got a bloody direct flight from Auckland to Invercargill now. Jesus.
No, too many family. Got to get rid of them. Perhaps you could move and not give them your address.
Well, I thought if I moved to the other end of New Zealand, it would limit the amount of visits I got.
The weather doesn't deter you. I mean, it must be pretty chilly when you're diving for the power, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not really. You get hot. That's what wetsuit. We're in the 20th century here.
21st,
yeah, well, there you
did
go.
Did you lose count?
Yeah, well, well, you're the one counting. Yeah, I'm still young.
I am, I'm still counting.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm old enough to be your grandmother, I think. How old are you now?
29.
Oh, my
God. I'm nearly an old bastard.
Yeah. What are you doing for your 30th birthday?
Probably wiping a stink ass.
Of the baby or the cow?
Yeah, probably both, in my own.
Yeah. You take 3 weeks holiday every year?
I try.
Is that important? To get off the farm for 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, it has been in the past, but now that I've got a kid on the way, it's a holiday anyway, like farming's a holiday.
Oh,
it's,
come on.
It is.
What are you saying? What, there's lots of farmers out there who are struggling at the moment. They don't think it's a holiday.
Yeah, they do. They wouldn't do anything else. I bet none of them would do anything else.
Well, let's see if they contact us and let us know.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. You reckon that it's in the blood and you just can't do anything else?
Well, if you don't want to do anything, then don't do it.
All right. What's your next ambition? You are clearly ambitious.
I just want to see, keep uploading really good content and get more professional with the way... I suppose the content that we're delivering with Farm for Life and get more professionals involved.
Don't get too professional.
Oh, I'm not going to get professional. Just get professionals involved.
Well, it's pretty good as it is.
Yeah.
And idea is to keep it real, right?
Yeah, the problem that I'm running into at the moment is obviously the page is getting more exposure with the amount of followers and that, and I just can't keep up with the amount of comments that are coming in.
Well, don't. Just let them comment. No,
I need to stay real and keep replying to those comments, because if I could filter out all the shit ones, it would be good. But, you know, there's people with mental health problems or stressing about things or stuck in situations they don't want to be in, and those comments need to be, I suppose, picked out and replied to by the right person.
So you pass them on to the right person?
Yep, or I reply myself.
Right.
Whereas if I sort of just get some guinea pig in there to go and read them all and just reply with love hearts,
no.
All of those would get missed.
So that's the other sense of you keeping it real. You need to treat people as individuals respectfully.
I think the person that's replying to the comments needs to be the person that's delivering the content.
Yeah.
To stay in line with what, you know, who your viewers.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if I just get someone else in, and then all of a sudden I get heaps of comments about people, you know, that are suicidal or, you know, going through depression, and here's me talking about going on holiday. It's not really servicing the viewers, is it?
No, it's not. You clearly take it very personally and seriously. I'm worried about you taking too much on now.
Yeah, well, I'm enjoying it now, so I can't really comment on something that hasn't happened yet.
No, of course. Thank you for that. That salutary lesson in questions that are stupid because they're entirely hypothetical.
Well, I was just cracking up at the beeps there, the beeping horn. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good idea.
It is a very good idea.
That's all I'm saying. And I think it would be quite handy on the farm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Don't know about the farm.
A whole range of mood
Definitely
horns.
Up here in Wellington.
Mood horns. It's very nice to talk to you. Thank you. And if people want to have a look, they haven't been looking at your video or Facebook page and they want to have a look, there is a link to it on our webpage, Tangaroa Walker. When are you going back down south?
Tomorrow. So I've got some friends leaving to move to Europe, so come see them off and then head back down and get into the mud and help the boys out.
Have you finished carving now?
No, we're two-thirds of the way through.
How's it gone?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Yep. Gone very good, even the snow. Goody hadn't been in the snow before, so we carved in the snow. We were carving in the snow and he was loving it for about 2 hours.
How long has he been in New Zealand?
For about 5 years.
Right. First time snow.
First time snow, yep.
So he liked it and then he didn't?
He bloody hated it after that.
I hope you gave him lots of warm gear.
Yeah, Goody was like, oh, very bad.
I like him very much on the video. I hope he stays working with you.
So do I.
Thank you, Tangaroa Walker.
Thanks very much.